Stage Dramas presents The Orchid of the Sacred Sleep. This week's Front Page drama, The Orchid of the Sacred Sleep, is a dramatization of a true and most adventurous story entitled I Found the Orchid of the Sacred Sleep by Alico E. Lilius, distinguished horticulturist, botanist, and world traveler. Mr. Lilius' strange tale of adventure is but one of the many excellent articles, true life stories and features to be found in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine that has been rightfully called The Nation's Reading Habit because it is read by more people than any other publication in the world. The American Weekly comes to you at no extra cost as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Now let us hear Mr. Lilius' strange but true story of the Orchid of the Sacred Sleep.
I had come to Camagene, one of the small islands in the Bashit Channel north of the Philippines, hunting for rare specimens of orchids. I was both pleased and flattered to be invited to stay at the house of Pansaya, the island's richest Chinese. As we drove along the beach, I noticed orchids growing on the high trees in the bordering forest. When I had unpacked and settled down, I asked Pansaya about the orchids.
Orchids, there are valleys where every tree is simply covered with them. Some of the natives here believe those valleys are the abodes of flower spirits, and they are venerated by the islanders. It is said certain varieties of orchids are sacred. One of these is the most beautiful orchid with pure white blossoms. No one is allowed to go near it. Only the priestess has ever seen it.
A sacred white orchid, eh? That is very interesting indeed, Zanfire. There must be some time-honored legend or story about it. Do you know it?
Yes, indeed. I have heard it many times. Perhaps my honored guest would like to hear it?
I should say I would, Zanfire.
Well, according to tradition, hundreds of years ago, long before the time of the Spaniards, these islands were populated by pagan tribes ruled by their princes and chiefs. The island of Babylon was the abode of a spirit whose heart was of fire and his breath of smoke. For some transgression unknown to mortals, the gods had doomed him to sleep for thousands of years. Occasionally he turned in his sleep. When he did, the earth shook. His fiery heart burst into flame. His hot blood in the form of lava flowed, and his poisonous breath killed every living thing. When this occurred, there was only one thing that would calm him: the sacrifice of the ruling chief's daughter. It was on one of these rare occasions that...
The spirit is restless in his sleep. He is sorely troubled. He demands a sacrifice over my chieftain. Obey the law of the gods. Make the sacrifice and save my people.
You hear, my daughter? The voices of our people are calling for the sacrifice. My heart is filled with grief and pain that you, my most beautiful flower, must be taken from me. I am torn between the great love I bear you and the love I owe my people in this, their hour of need. But the laws of the gods must be obeyed, lest their anger descend upon our people. Come, my daughter. Arise, be brave. The hour of the sacrifice has come.
I am ready, my father. Take me now to the throne of the great god of Babylon. I am calm and ready. I do not tremble or fear at what is to come. I will die that our people may live. Lead on, my father, and I will follow.
Thou art indeed a real princess, my daughter. A princess worthy of my people.
And make sure that the peace and the danger pass, great father. Go, I pray thee, to my beloved, the prince of the Pali, to whom I am betrothed. Tell him of the great love I bear him. Tell him to mourn not at my passing, but to rejoice with my people that I died, that they might be saved. Now let us go forth to the mountain, father.
Yes, my daughter. Give me your hand.
What brings you here, brave warrior of the Babuan?
I am the bearer of sad tidings, noble prince of Tipari. The great spirit of the mountain of Babuan grows restless. From his mouth pours forth much smoke. From his heart comes great flames, and over the mountain streams of his blood flow. My people are fearful at the trembling of the earth, and have called upon our chieftain for the sacrifice.
My beloved promised to me in marriage, she is in danger.
Yea, brave prince. At sundown, she will be led forth to the sacrifice.
This cannot be. She must not be sacrificed. Come, I shall gather the strongest boatmen. In the swiftest war boat, we shall speed away to Babylon. And when the darkness descends, I shall rescue her and bring her back with me to the palace. Be noble warrior. I have my beloved. I climbed the mountain and found her there. The smoke hid me from the eyes of your people.
You sleep soundly, noble prince. He has been overcome by the strange drug that comes in the smoke of the spirit's breath.
Yes. Sleeps heavily, but lives and breathes. I will take her to the parish, and in my home she shall be revived and throw off the strange spell of the drug.
I carried the maiden home, but she did not awaken from her deep slumber. Then all the next day and night the young prince stood aside, hoping, praying, working for her recovery. But on the third night, Babylon shook with a great explosion. Black and yellow clouds, hot stones and ashes rose for miles, rained down upon the neighboring island. The revenge of the volcano spirit was terrible to behold.
And was the island of Dipari caught under the rain of fire?
Yes. Yes, when Babylon calmed down and the air was clear, the survivors of Dipari found their prince and his beloved asleep in each other's arms. They were never able to awaken them. It was the eternal sleep. On the spot where they were buried grew a large tree, and on that tree blossomed a great flower as beautiful as the spirit of the sleeping maiden and her lover.
And that flower is the sacred white orchid?
Yes, the Sagiyasya, the orchid of the sacred peak.
And you say no one knows where to find this place where the sacred white orchid grows?
Only the priestess, my friend, the guardian of the orchid of the sacred peak. She is Sama, the eldest daughter of Captain Ai, a descendant of the old rulers of the Batana. Her mother was a priestess before her, as had been her grandmother and great-grandmother.
I should like to meet Sama and talk with her. Would you be kind enough to arrange it, and
with the greatest of pleasure, Miss Lillian. Tomorrow we shall sail for Dipari.
Accordingly, we sailed over to Dipari. Strangely enough, Babuan's volcano grew restless. The earth trembled and the sky glowed with the reflection of the flames. We met Sama returning from the river with a water jar on her head, and after the preliminary introductions were over, I waited for an opportune time to talk about the sacred orchid. Yes, speak, Sama. Babuan is restless. If he breaks forth in violence, will you perform the old ceremony of propitiation before Saguyetye, the white orchid of the sacred fruit? I would like to see it, if I may, Sama.
You know, American man, that we are Christians here. We could not believe in any cold spirits and things like that.
I know. But what about the orchid of the sacred fruit? You are its priestess, Kelly.
It is not time for Saguyetye to bloom. When it blossoms, there is no ceremony. Then I go alone into the jungle to pray for a spirit. I am the priestess of the flower only because my mother was before me. Although my mother was a Christian, she believed also in his souls, both good and bad. She taught me the strange words of a prayer that no one, not even I, understood.
What? Could I see the orchid of this region? The sacred tree? Would you lead me to it?
No. It would mean death. I could not do that. No.
She ran away from us. Ah, she's a strange, mysterious creature. I'd give anything to see that sacred white orchid.
Very well. I think I have an idea that will help you, Mr. Lillian. Well, we will make several excursions into the jungle searching for rare orchids.
Yes.
Then one day I will go to Sama and tell her we have located the plant and that you have it and are taking it away with you. Naturally, Sama, the priestess of the flower, we want to make sure that you really have discovered her secret and stolen the plant. You follow?
Yes.
All we have to do then is wait until she goes to look and follow her secretly into the forest.
But, well, that's not exactly playing fair, but I must see that sacred orchid. So let's try out your idea, Tadsire.
It shall be done, Mr. Lillian. And I think it will work.
A few days later, Tadsire followed our plan and intimated to Sama that I had found the sacred orchid. I watched outside her hut all night. At dawn, she came out and disappeared into the jungle. I followed her for 3 hours at a close distance. At last, she disappeared into an opening in the jungle between the vines. Crawling ahead on hands and knees through the dimness of a damp green tunnel, I suddenly found myself looking upon a small clearing in the jungle. On its far side stood Sama. bowing before a giant tree. And hanging from a heavy branch, I can see a bulk of green orchid leaves in his first glorious clusters of pure white blossoms. The orchid of the sacred tree. That orchid was an iris from Mary, and it was priceless. I had made one of the world's greatest finds. After bowing before the sacred flower, Sama returned to a creek and bathed three times. Then she timidly approached the great tree that bore the sacred orchid. Then, rising with arms spread wide and face uplifted, she muttered a kind of an unintelligible invocation, which soon turned into a weirdly beautiful chant. As she poured forth words of exaltation, the sacred orchid glowed as if with a celestial fire. Then with lowered head, she backed away and disappeared into the undergrowth. Hardly able to contain myself, I broke from my hiding place with a rush, but I was stopped by a piercing scream.
Man, 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 you're spied upon me. Can't see a light. You tricked me into leading you to Tagoyaki. Now,
Sama, let us be reasonable about this. Let me have but a small part of this sacred plant of yours. Just give me a few roots to take to Manila and show there to men of science and tell them the story of Babuan and the beautiful piece of flower.
No, American man, you will never touch the orchid of the sacred tree.
No? I'll show you. I started across the glade, waded into the creek, but it seemed wider than I had thought, and the water exerted a delaying pressure on my feet. As I reached the far side, the green walls of the jungle seemed to recede before me, and my limbs grew strangely heavy. But before me was always the sight of that fabulous orchid, tantalizingly luring me on. When I had reached the foot of the tree and was clawing at its bark with my fingers, while above me the sagui yip glowed with a fire. That's all I remember. The next thing I knew, I was lying beside the creek in summer, was bathing my forehead with the cool water.
I told you that you would never touch the sacred flower. The sleep was upon you and you would have died, had not I, the priest of the sagui yip yip, felt compassion and dragged you to safety. Not a scope.
But the orchid, the iris, Mary, the price of
your... Look at it now.
Half turning, I looked over my shoulder and an icy shiver passed through my body. There hung the same bulk of leaves and blossoms, but all were seared and withered as though they had been subjected to the blast from a blowtorch. Unbelieving, I looked again, but there was no doubting what I saw. Without a word, I turned my back upon it and allowed Sama to lead me back to her hut. Soon I shall start on another expedition to those mysterious islands between Luzon and Formosa. But I do not think I should pay the Pari a visit. There is such a thing as tempting fate too far.
You have just heard the front page drama, The Orchid of the Sacred Sleep, adapted from the feature story, I Found the Orchid of the Sacred Sleep. This fascinating story is but one of the many outstanding stories, articles, and unusual features to be found in next Sunday's American Weekly, a magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Dramas present Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. In next Sunday's American Weekly, the gifted editor and author